and while we wait.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Get ready to suck it!
Kind of what the New York Mets are saying to the former New York team, the LA Dodgers, right now, as it is 13-4 in the eighth inning, and that's about the only excitement we had tonight was playoff baseball and a relatively lackluster Monday Night Football game because Raw was one of the worst, at least I've seen. Now, I know that there will be these, you know, wrestling marks who will be like, oh, but they set up the storylines and they, you know, they did a lot of, you know, storyline progression. And no. See, I need action. I need, if I'm going to watch a 3-hour program, I need something. Okay, I need somebody to get body slammed or somebody to go through a tail, something. And this Raw did absolutely nothing for me. I think it's given absolutely nothing to progress the storylines because everything was predictable. And I think that all this Raw did was promote next Raw, which is the one right before Elimination Chamber, which is going to be huge, obviously. But that's pretty much it. Chris McSwiggin here, along with Dustin Bork and Jason. I believe, is it Cordero or Cordon?
Yep, you got it right, Cordon.
Cordero?
Yep.
Bootylicious, look at that. All right, so I get that right, and we're here and we're talking wrestling, and I don't know what the agenda is that Dustin had on tap today for the show.
We were doing a Raw recap. Jason wanted to talk. He brought up best. So I don't know if there was a delay before I hit the music or what, but I was just about to shut the door so I could have it nice and quiet in here, and then I see this little tiny, like literally no bigger than an inch lizard start ripping around the room. I'm like, shit. So I was like, all right, I got to get this, otherwise none of us are gonna be able to sleep tonight. I mean, you want to talk about Florida with reptiles. Holy crap, man. They're everywhere. You walk down the street. I don't want to jinx it, but I haven't seen any spiders in here. Zero spiders.
Well,
thankfully, because spiders and snakes are like my top don't want to mess with on my list of random crap that I wouldn't go near. Those two.
So, Jason, now we know how to troll Dustin. To send him
the lizards. Oh, my God. The lizards, dude. You walk down the sidewalk and the ground starts moving. Like, you don't understand it. You're like, what the hell what's going on? And then you, like, actually look and it's literally hundreds of lizards that scatter because they're afraid of you because obviously you're twice their size. But the little baby ones are adorable. Yeah. So, thankfully, it was a little baby one, which kind of springs a bigger problem on me because I'm trying to figure out if there's like a mother in here that just had a litter of little baby lizards. So I guess that's going to be an interesting couple of weeks figuring that out. But I don't know. It's Florida. But anyways, we were Raw recap. Jason brought up best factions of all time, which I really don't think is going to be that complicated to figure out. And then we're just going to kind of talk current storylines. So you were probably what? You're giving me your Raw recap?
Yeah, I was going to just come in real quick and start with the beginning and how Raw, you know, started off. And it starts off with what I thought was an interesting way to start it off. Dean Ambrose comes out. He's talking about the Wyatts and about how he wants to, you know, he's going to end the other two Wyatts, and then Roman's going to take care of business in the cell against Bray and this whole thing. Randy Orton comes out. They start talking about how they don't really trust each other and how, you know, if they have to get through it, then they will, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, you hear the New Day music. And I'm like, another show starting with New Day. Great. So they come out. The two are going back and forth, cracking jokes about each other, doing the whole thing. So Kane comes on and says, okay, well, you two are going to have a match. Great. Relatively decent action, but more annoying New Day trumpet playing and jumping around. Well, long story short, the New Day was the team that gelled, and the Orton and Ambrose team sort of fell apart, sort of got in each other's face. Kofi shoved Orton into Ambrose, right in the middle of the RKO. He had a roll-up to win, and New Day gets the victory. So they're really pushing New Day. The beginning of the show showed that the Authority was running late and said that they weren't going to make it in time, so Kane put Seth Rollins in a match, a lumberjack match against himself, and the Authority kept calling and saying, hey, we're going to be late, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, okay, you know, bad reception and the whole thing. It was kind of a corny little storyline. I didn't really like it. But anyway, so that happens. Then we have a Divas match. More Divas, you know, arguing with each other about, you know, who's better. Sasha Banks and Team Bad came out. excuse me. Nikki Bella hits the Rack Attack and wins. Blah, 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 blah. Crowd chants, we want Sasha. Are they going to talk about maybe that might cause dissension with the team? Who really gives a shit? U.S. champion John Cena comes out, says, you know, the champ is here, and holds the belt up and talks about open challenge. Dolph Ziggler answers the challenge. They have a good match. Cena wins. The Dudley Boys versus the Ascension. Well, here we go. The Dudley Boys beat the Ascension because the Ascension really never did much of anything at all since they got into the business. King Barrett and Sheamus beat...
Other than rip
Cesaro
off LOD, hardcore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what's funny is the Dudley Boys actually hit... Like, the Dudley Boys actually beat the Ascension using LOD's finisher.
What, that
right.
Shoulder?
The Doomsday device.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny because I think everybody's been complaining a little bit that they've been, you know, ripping them off. So they won using that. Barrett and Sheamus beat Neville and Cesaro. Nobody really cares about that, which I don't think those two. I think that those two actually might be better with a storyline against each other because, you know, the English and the Irish thing, if anyone knows history.
Right.
It'd kind of be a cool idea, but again, no, those two are teaming up, so that's relatively interesting, not really, but sort of. After that, at this point, I was really like, meh, on Raw. I switched over to Monday Night Football for a little bit, but came back, saw that Roman Reigns beats Braun Strowman, and I was like, ooh, Roman Reigns won, like, somebody finally beat this guy? Yeah, it was stupid, it was a count out. It was Luke Harper trying to get involved, and it was a count out, so it was cheap. Ryback beats Rusev, and then after the match, Lana, they show the clip of him and Lana getting engaged. Jason said during the week that they should just end the storyline because it's stupid. Well, obviously we felt that as well. Summer calls out Rusev, says that she'll never trust him again. It's just yelling at him and doing the whole typical chick with her heartbroken thing. Slaps him, walks away, blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
so
blah,
they
blah.
Ran with it. They ran with the real life.
They had to.
Yeah, because they felt they felt that people were going to call them out on it if they didn't. So that's why they decided to go with it. So I thought that was smart. Intercontinental Champion Kevin Owens beat Kalisto. I don't even know why Kalisto's getting an Intercontinental title match, but he is. Brie Bella and Alicia Fox, they beat Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and Naomi tried to get involved, and blah, blah, blah. So Bella twins get more of a push. And that was a late Raw match.
Yeah, but that's interesting that Brie is fighting with the other one instead of Nikki.
Yeah, well, no, Nikki had had a match earlier in the night.
Right, but that just makes me believe that there's more validity to this Brie Bella wanting to have a kid thing. Because if she wants to have a kid, they're certainly not going to give her a singles push like they're continuing to do with Nikki. So that probably is kind
possibly
of like
true,
a...
Possibly true, but the fact that she's fighting at all is a little weird. Brie hasn't actually been in the ring in a while, or at least nothing memorable. And then the last match was Kane defeated Seth Rollins. Now, here's the only part of the storyline that I thought was interesting. However, I thought it was very... very predictable as well. The Authority finally gets good cell phone reception. They tell Kane, absolutely not. You are not going out there tonight to face Seth Rollins. You're facing
what you do, act like the cell phone perception's breaking up again and then do his evil laugh.
First they were on a plane and said, we're going to be late. And then they said, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they kept having a different excuse. Then they said, oh, it's hard to hear you. I can't hear you. So finally they get good reception. Kane tells them the match is against him. They say, absolutely not. You know, I forbid you to go out there, blah, 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 blah. You have to find a replacement. So as soon as that happens, I'm like, oh, well, I know what's going to happen. Kane's going to come out as Demon Kane. He's going to say, well, that wasn't me. That was Demon Kane. And as soon as they said that, I was like, yep, that's happening. Well, Raw comes back in commercial, Lumberjacks come out, Seth Rollins comes out, and what do you know? Boom, the fire, the explosion, Kane's music hits, and Demon Kane comes out. So now I'm like, oh, well, I think everybody on planet Earth fucking knew that was going to happen. So they start fighting, they start doing their whole thing. Kane ends up winning, tombstoning Seth Rollins, pinning him 1-2-3, holding up the belt as Raw went off the air. I mean, it was a cool storyline, and I think that they're giving Kane a little bit of a push that he finally deserves because, remember, if Kane doesn't win the title at Hell in a Cell, corporate Kane loses the job. So that's kind of an interesting storyline. However, I think that they could have done it so it wasn't so predictable. I think everybody knew that the replacement was going to be like Demon Kane and not corporate Kane. So that was, to me, not creative at all. Everyone knew it was coming. So a very lackluster Raw. They talked about the pay-per-view. They talked about next week, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, like they're all going to be there on Raw next week. So they basically were like, who cares about Raw? Watch next week's Raw. And they were like, next week's Raw
See,
is like going to be really good.
That's what I'm saying. They hurt themselves, right? They discount their own products so often.
Yeah, basically. They were like, you know, next week on Raw... You know, meanwhile, while you're in the middle of a shitty program, next week on Raw, tune in, we've got, you know, all these Attitude Era superstars are going to be live in attendance.
It's like they know that their program sucks, and they're like, bear with us, wait till next week, you know?
Yeah, basically. But I just think that amidst all these ratings, they obviously keep up with social media. They obviously keep up with internet stories. You know, they obviously know what's going on. That's why they were able to make a play on this whole Rusev and Lana thing and make Summer Rae, you know, have that crushed lover scene with him where she slaps him and stuff. So obviously they know what's going on. Don't you think that they would make a push to try to have a better program? Because this Raw was easily the most boring Raw. I watched most of it out of the corner of my eye on mute. I was doing computer work, and I had it on, like, low volume, and nothing exciting happened. To me, the most exciting part of the whole program was, oh, wow, next week we're going to have all these guys. You know, so I don't know, man. It was disappointing, to say the least.
What do you think, Jay?
No, I totally agree. I mean, they could have used tonight as a launch pad towards next week, but I guess they're rolling the dice with everything starting point being next week is going to be a big Raw lift, you know, leading
up to
Hell in a Cell.
And they're pushing Hell in a Cell, which is a new pay-per-view, by the way. It's not even a pay-per-view that, you know, has been around that long. And they're pushing it like it's freaking, like, right before WrestleMania. Like, I mean, they're talking about, you know, a 13-year rivalry between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar comes to an end. And, you know, the rubber match between these two, and they're pushing the shit out of that match. And they're like, you know, the main event, blah, 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 these two and the 13-year rivalry and who's going to, and they're showing clips, highlights, and this and that and that. And they're playing this event up like it's freaking WrestleMania. They're making Hell in a Cell sound like it's going to be like the best pay-per-view of all time. And you look at the card, and it's really kind of a, you know, kind of a mild card. And they're making it seem like Undertaker Brock Lesnar is Undertaker Brock Lesnar from the 2000s.
So let me ask you this. Is that card all Hell in a Cell matches?
I don't think so. I think only a couple of them are.
This is my problem. Yeah, this is my problem. If you're going to
just like Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, if you're going to name a pay-per-view after a type of match, all the matches should be that match.
Agreed.
Like if you're going to name a pay-per-view Hell in a Cell, I better see the opening match in a Hell in a Cell. Otherwise, just keep it to a match that happens at SummerSlam or at WrestleMania or, you know what I mean? Like, don't, like, it almost seems like they're, I don't know, like you get chocolate syrup for the first time and you decide to put it on your ice cream. Then you're like, wow, this is great. Oh, I'm going to put it in my milk. Oh, this is great. Now I'm going to put it on my cereal. I'm going to put it on, like, you know what I mean? I'm going to put it on crackers. Like, you're just going out of control. Like, you need to keep it, you know, to its own thing. Like, it needs to be, same thing with the Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman thing. You know, make it special when it happens. Don't beat the crap out of it.
All right.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to name a pay-per-view after a if you're going to name a pay-per-view the Iron Man pay-per-view, why would you be watching any other matches except for Iron Man matches?
This is true. They did a good job with the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view when we had our first ever Intercontinental Elimination, you know, match or tag team.
Well, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view was the same thing. The Elimination Chamber was a bunch of regular matches, and they had the SmackDown
matches.
Elimination Chamber and the Raw Elimination Chamber was the two that they had. And
right.
that was the event, but they called it that because that's what they want to pump it up. So I think what they do is they call it that so that they can get everybody excited for those matches. Because once they tune into the pay-per-view, they're not going to, you know, people aren't going to just turn it off. They already went through all the effort of turning it on. And then what they're going to do is all night long be like, and make sure you stay tuned for the Hell in a Cell coming up, you know, at the end of blah, 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 blah. So they're going to push the shit out of it. But, you know, I think there's three Hell in a Cell matches. I think the Divas match is two, if I heard correctly.
I know we definitely have Undertaker Brock, and we definitely have Roman Reigns against, against the Wyatt, and I believe that the other tag team match is going to be a Hell in a Cell match with Ambrose and Orton against the other two members of the Wyatt. So those might be the three, and that might be it. Oh, and sorry, and of course the championship match is a Hell in a Cell match. So yeah, four.
Huh. Okay, well. You know, and it's one of those things, too, where I think a lot of superstars can't compete. Like, even back in the Attitude Era days, they only put certain superstars in those matches. I mean, you didn't see, you know, Goldust in a Hell in a Cell, or you didn't see, Al Snow. Well, you did every once in a while, but, I mean, you only saw Undertaker, Kane, Austin, and Mankind, for the most part, in these Hell in a Cell matches. Every once in a while, you get Triple H in one, get The Rock in one, but you don't. Like, there are certain superstars whose bodies just can't go through that much of a toll. But now, with it being so PG, not allowed to show blood, and you can't actually hit them with weapons and the whole thing, they should be able to, anybody should be able to be in a cage. I mean, shit, the fucking announcers could be in a cage now, and they'd be fine. So I don't know, but, you know, They're a billion-dollar Fortune 100 company, and they're doing something right, I guess.
Speaking of something right, I got some late-breaking news. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but WWE is teasing a partnership with ESPN, and that Seth Rollins will be in Bristol tomorrow for the 6 o'clock SportsCenter. So maybe something's coming up down the pipeline. Maybe this goes to WrestleMania season again. You never know.
Well, WrestleMania is in Dallas this year in Cowboy Stadium,
right.
Which I think would be
All right, so
cool,
with the teasing of ESPN thing, though, if you think about it, they've been doing that all the way back to when Coachman did his little whatever it was. Was it SummerSlam when he showed up?
Yeah.
So realistically, I think what's been happening is that same thing with Brock Lesnar when he announced that he wasn't going back to the UFC and he had signed the extension with WWE. Where did he do that? He did it on SportsCenter. So I think they've been kind of like almost testing the waters, and I think it's gotten to a point. You really think it's like this out of, you know, like, what is it? Abrupt? Like, do you really think it's the shocker that now Bleacher Report has daily wrestling blogs and articles? Now ESPN is covering, the outcomes of the pay-per-views. Like they're wrestling's starting to actually not be. And this is what worries me: is it's starting to not be that niche thing where you got to be diehard. Right, where you got to be diehard to be into it. Like back when I was in eighth grade, like if you were into wrestling, it was like because you are like you're into wrestling. But the people that were into sports didn't like wrestling. You know, like you know your basketball team; those guys didn't watch wrestling. Your book nerds; they didn't watch wrestling. Like if you are a wrestling fan, it's because you were your own group. You were wrestling people. So now it's becoming very mainstream to the point where, hell, we're doing a radio broadcast after Raw, and we're not even the only one, you know? So it's getting to this point where it almost seemed like premeditated that this was going to happen. And so it makes sense, and it wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, think about it. The WWE Network broke its story on ESPN, you know? So the whole... It seems like they're making it a very big point to partner with ESPN to make everyone realize this is a sport. It's not it's not acting. You know, they're trying to be considered the same, the same type of thing as mixed martial arts, just a different category. Like maybe it's an extreme sport. Maybe they'll call it that, you know, just like, you know, BMX and X Games and all that stuff.
Well, I think also, like I said, they're trying to market a certain, you know, group of people, mostly younger people. And I think that because ESPN headquarters is in Connecticut, and obviously so is WWE, Linda McMahon, you know, ran for the governor of the state, the whole thing, blah, 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 blah. Now, Jonathan Coachman works on SportsCenter. He was a, you know, relatively big name through the 2000s. I don't know. I think that right now WWE is in a weird state because, like Dustin said, he put out a good term when he said niche. It definitely was a niche thing back then because liking wrestling from 97 to 2001 was almost taboo in a way. Like some of the things that they did. And some of the things, they got panned for a lot of stuff. Like, people used to say that, you know, they were immoral and that they, you know, because they made fun of issues that nowadays everybody's so touchy. They have lawsuits left and right. And they, you know, it used to be one of those things where, oh, you know, you like wrestling? Whoa, geez, you know, what the hell's going on in your personal life, you know?
Well,
and now
hey, think about it. Sable had a lawsuit for the longest time against Vince McMahon because he was telling her to go topless in matches. So it's like, you want to talk about like different changes that have happened throughout the industry. Like, come on, you know,
yeah,
back
well,
in
the
day,
the most popular match from back then was bra and panties matches and shit. That was what was popular.
Oh yeah.
And that's back when women, I mean, Sable used to actually fight, but for the longest time, Sable had no competition. She had Luna, who was just deranged and weird. And then they had Ivory come in. They had Ivory come in, who was
I think
crazy.
Sunny. I think Sunny was the original diva, but she never met. She never fought. Sunny
she
was the original.
Yeah, she, didn't do much.
She was the original like pretty girl who just kind of bounced around all over the place and then went to the commentary for a little bit and had her moments on you know on occasion. But
she was the Attitude Era version of Elizabeth.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
That's one thing. That's one thing too that that I think TNA did right was that the you know. WWE had, or WWF back then, had Chyna, who was like your big-time fighter, but she really didn't even fight that much until almost 99. And then, obviously, you had Sable. But the rest of them, the ones who won, like Luna and Ivory, and then they were like not really that hot, but they were like
well,
really good
Well, you remember Jacqueline? Jackie was good, too.
Was, yeah, but she wasn't all that hot. I mean, nothing, you know, nothing against her personally, but she just, I didn't like looking at her. Whereas in TNA, they had the beautiful people, Velvet Sky and who was the other one? Shoot, I forgot her name now. I had it and now I lost it.
Well, didn't
it.
They
but
poached
anyway.
Mickey James and they poached
you remember
the redhead Hemi? She was the original redhead.
Christy
and
Hemi.
She became a ring announcer.
They had who else did they have? But I'm saying the girls in TNA. Were like smoking hot, but they also like could fight and put on good matches. Whereas in WWF for the longest time it was one or the other, and then Lita and Trish came in and sort of changed that, and then they kind of got away from Divas for a while after those two left. So I mean, you know, they had like Molly Holly and you know and everything and whatever, but they never really focused on it. Whereas the Knockouts,
I'm also a firm believer of they need those two separate. Labels in today's WWE. Like, I believe that girls like Lana and girls like Summer Rae need to just stick to being managers and be, you know, dress up and do the stupid shit where you kind of interfere in a match here or there, but you don't ever really need to fight. Just look pretty and show up with the dudes. That's all you need to do. You need to have your own category of those girls, and then you need to have your category of the ones like Brie Bella who cross-train on the daily and want to go out and fight. But like her sister, Nikki, to me, shouldn't ever have to fight. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't move like a fighter. Her sister, Brie, moves like an athlete. Brie does. Nikki does not.
Yeah.
It's probably because of the implants. But this is my point. One of them's made for show. The other one's made for, you know, one of them's a Range Rover. The other one's
a
Dodge
Viper.
World title. You know what I mean?
And they put the world title on the one that's not made for fighting.
Well, they put the world title on the best looking one is what they did.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
But although I don't know, she's you know, it was growing on me. I know she's new, but it was growing on me, Becky Lynch. And also that girl in NXT there, Bailey, is kinda cute.
Ah, she bores me.
I'm not saying I like her personality, but she has a cute face.
No, see, I disagree. I don't find her attractive at all. I think that I thought what was going to happen was I actually thought that she was dropping the title in the Iron Man match to the redhead because I thought she was getting way more attention. And
off
she obviously, I actually thought she was more attractive. But I don't know. Like I said, I think there needs to be the two categories. You need to have about four or five of your standard, you know, just don't really talk. Maybe do the interference thing, show up in whatever outfit, and then just kind of walk down and try to help out. The original thought of a manager, you go back to Shawn Michaels, the girl they originally put with Shawn Michaels was like one of the most well-known managers out there that they put with all the, you know, all the greatest superstars when they were trying to get some momentum on their side. The idea of the manager was to actually help put that person, the superstar they're escorting, up on the pedestal like, oh, man, they got a manager. They're the real deal. But now it's like nobody has a manager anymore. Like I used to – when you used to play the video games, you always played the match where you could have the manager because then the manager would interfere. You could win the match. Like they don't even do that anymore. There's no – you know, there aren't any – there's not any managers. The only guy that really did it was Rusev. He brought the manager back, came out with Lana because he couldn't speak English, and then she would say her piece. And then you'd be like, all right, this is cool. But we don't have any other ones. You know, they kind of like forced the Summer Rae thing on us, and we went along with it because she really just kind of swagger jacked Lana, so it was a, you know, it was like, it was kind of funny. The girl comes out and literally dresses up exactly like the Lana chick, and then you're like, all right, cool, this is fun. You got a good looking one, and then you got a diet good looking one. So it's like, okay, cool. But realistically, you know, they should have, you know, all shapes and colors. I think there should be a beast out there like a China that's more current day, you know, that's kind of like piped out, that comes out with like an up and coming dude. They should come out with a dark one to come out with that fucking weird dude in NXT that's got all the painting all over him, like Venom from Spider-Man. Like
Baylor.
Yeah. Honestly, if they didn't make Paige into an annoying old English like shithead, she would have been perfect. You send out a pale gothic chick with this dude, that would have been perfect. They would have been a match made in heaven, but they missed the boat on that one. So they need to give him some kind of dark gothic manager to come out. So not only is he coming out having great matches because he's athletic, but now he's got a hot chick with him who probably interferes, helps him win matches. So they're hitting you from multiple angles. You know, there needs to be, you need to get some kind of a refresh on the whole manager idea. I think it would be a good tribute to the Attitude Era, you know, and I think it would be a good step in the right direction, because I think they're really, really trying to shove the women's rights shit down our throats with this Diva Revolution bullshit. Like, think back to when the Divas were the best, right? Realistically, Stephanie McMahon was the champion. You couldn't stand her because she was daddy's girl. She got interference all the time, and she was walking around with the title. So it's like, you know, that's not fair. The guy who owns the place, his daughter's the champ. You know, Shane was the champ. Like, really? But it annoyed you enough to the point where you were entertained, right? Now it's not like that. You get all this drama happening, and, you know, you're sending them out. They're cutting their own promos now, and it's all about who's stealing whose lipstick. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. You were originally brought into the sport to show up with a low cut shirt and to just walk around. That was what women were brought into the wrestling world for. I hate to break it to you, but that's what they were brought into the world for. I don't understand why they need to have a division, you know, any kind of out of control. Like, it's not even back in the, you know, Attitude Era women's championship when there was one title, Trish Stratus dominated, and you always had like maybe one or two, you know, like actual worthy opponents like Lita and whatever, Molly Holly or whatever. Like, you even back then you had maybe a handful of quality athletes, and then what? You had the lipsticks. You had Stacy Keibler, you had Tori Wilson, you had Terry, you had like all the, you know, the sexy ones that were just out there to walk around that couldn't perform. Their matches were pillow fight matches, right? You know, so it's like, there needs to be that balance, and I don't think they're going to do it because they're too PG.
I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, there's really none. You're right. I mean, if they're too PG, they're too invested. I do think that a girl in NXT, Bayley, they're going to push her. Like, by the time she comes up after Mania, they're going to push her to be like the female John Cena in terms of like for the kids, and take, you know, for merchandise sales and things like that. But,
don't you think they're already doing that with Flair's daughter?
But she doesn't have the appeal as a Bayley. Like, you could see, like, she's like all for the kids, all for that youth movement. You know, you could tell that Flair's daughter is just, you know, it's just another, you know, they're pushing her along because she's the daughter of Flair. And she has no like real charisma to herself.
Right. I just don't know. I don't. When I watch today's product and I think back to what made me watch, right? Why I couldn't miss an episode. I don't have that currently. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't. Nothing excites me. Nothing gets me, you know, to the point where, like I said, I missed Raw tonight. I counted on you guys to fill me up with the details, and apparently it was a great one to miss. So it's like, I just can't, I don't know, I can't understand what it is that's missing. You know, is it because it's too vanilla? Like, is it too, you know, it's always going to be John Cena, and it's always going to be like, I'm worried that Rollins is going to, is Shawn dealt with, which is, you know, they're failing because the product is failing, not because the individual, you know, like I think Rollins is one of the best in-ring performers, and he's actually pretty decent on the mic too. And I would take him over Cena. I would take him over. I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I 100% will take him over Cena any day of the week, because I think Cena is too much of a gimmick. He's too one-dimensional. He's too, I always want to be the good guy. He, put it this way, you know what would have won me over for Cena? When he was, wasn't there an opportunity for him to join Nexus and become like a heel? And you felt it in the air, but he never did it. Like, I thought Barrett was really pushing for Cena to join them. And it got to a point where, what was it? They could have done it multiple times. Even that time when, who did he beat to bring the Authority back? Or he lost to
did
get
a
the
heel
Authority
move.
Back.
He had
it was Rollins. It was Rollins, right? That was the Authority thing. Rollins. Yeah, Cena beat whoever he had to and sent the Authority away, and then what's his face, Rollins was threatening to do the curb stomp to Edge, and then he made Cena reinstate him. But I'm going all the way back to New Nexus, when it was like Barrett, and they were such a thorn in the side of Cena that he was telling, he's like, all you got to do is join us and it's that easy. And it got to the point where you're like, no way. And you got excited. You're like, wow, that would be incredible. Could you imagine Cena as, you know, a workhorse for a faction like this that was, you know, at the time, Nexus was like Ryback and all those guys before they became singles guys. And it's like, that to me would have been awesome, but they never did it. Like, they need a earth-shattering move like that, I think, to make a guy like Cena more relevant. I just think he's so boring now. It's just the same shit every time. You know, he's always the underdog, and he's always fighting for cancer, you know, the fight against cancer, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if there's any kind of, you know, tragedy in the world, he's the guy that's going to lead you against it. It's just, you know, it's the same crap over and over and over again.
Well, I got a question for you guys. With the announcement of ESPN looming and tickets that actually go on sale for WrestleMania within a couple of weeks, do you think the current roster can actually sell out AT&T Stadium?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, because the,
Chris,
because
are you there?
They're doing it. Yeah, can you hear me?
Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you both. I hear you both.
I lost them both.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I lost them both.
I think that they will sell out.
They should
out.
Be here, but I can't hear them. I don't know what's going on.
Jason,
I mean,
you
if you guys
right?
can hear me, call back in. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you both.
What
you
happened
both.
Or why it happened, but we're going to roll with it. I will tell you, how about this? We always do clips. I got a whole bunch of fun clips here. Well, let's see here. How about these guys? Remember, you want to talk about factions? How about an underappreciated faction?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody! And you consider this team the greatest tag team champions in WWE history.
So I think to answer your previous question, yes, they can sell out 18,000 people simply because, you know, they've been selling out arenas left and right. They sold out WrestleMania last year. And even if they don't sell out, they'll tell you that they did. So,
true.
You know, so I think that they definitely can. The other thing, too, is, and let me ask you guys this. I know we seem to be having some technical issues, but let me ask you guys this, though. Back in the Attitude Era, there were guys and girls that you rooted for or rooted against, where when they had a match, you actually wanted them to lose, or you actually wanted them to win. Like, you could actually get behind or get in. Petitions, but I don't really care. Whereas in the Attitude Era, there were guys that I, like, wanted to win that you would root for, and then guys you would root against. And I don't think that people are as emotionally invested in it now as they were used to be.
Now you must deal with the creation of all the unpleasantries in the entire universe as I feel the injection.
What would you think if they did Undertaker versus Kane?